Biblical vision is the lens that helps us interpret the events of our life. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to develop 20/20 vision through the lens of God's Word.
When someone accepts Jesus as their Savior, the Spirit of God comes to dwell within them, and He will guide you away from error and away from destruction, and He will guide you into truth. The Spirit of God will guide you into the vision of God if you will listen and be yielded to Him and to the Word of God each and every day.
Vision is the lens that interprets the way we view people and our concept of God. In John chapter 8, Jesus reminds us as believers that we can know the truth and that the truth can set us free. If you want to know more about biblical truth, then this series is for you. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. The things we perceive to be true determine the way we respond to the world around us and to the God who lives within us. In our series, 20/20 Vision, we will develop a better understanding of who Jesus is and how He can make a difference in our lives. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called The Priority of Biblical Vision.
You'll notice this morning the title of the message is The Priority of Biblical Vision. The priority of biblical vision. And our desire in these upcoming weeks is not simply to get good ideas. Our desire is to get God's idea for life. What does God want to see in our everyday lives? Now, I want to warn you this morning from the very beginning of this series that a biblical vision of life is going to be quite different from the other ways of viewing life that exist today. In other words, what the Bible has to say about life is quite different than what Hollywood's saying about life today. Hollywood says you can live however you want and everything will be all right. God's Word has a different view on life. And so what we're going to learn today concerning life and God's view of life is going to be somewhat different than some of the popular themes that exist in the world today. You see, a godly vision is right for the times. A godly vision is right for the family. A godly vision is right for the church. A godly vision is right for the nation. A godly vision will promote faith rather than fear. A godly vision will motivate us to action and obedience unto the Lord. A godly vision will require risk-taking, and a godly vision will glorify God, not people. We're talking today about having a godly vision for life and for eternal life. Now, I think everyone here on Sunday morning would say, well, I'm here because I want God's vision. I want to know more of what God says. But how do I find God's vision? And once I find it, how can I fulfill that vision in my everyday life? You know, a lot of people have trouble translating the vision of God into the way they live every day. And so we want to not only discover God's vision these next several weeks, but we want to learn how to live God's vision as a reality in our lives. We don't want to leave it out there as some abstract, unattainable way of living. We want to say, Lord, help me to live according to your vision for my life. And so let's dive into it this morning. Notice, if you will, first of all, the provision of spiritual vision. The provision of spiritual vision. And as we consider this topic, I want you, if you're taking notes, to jot down this simple definition of the word vision. Right from the beginning, I want you to know what the Bible means when you read the word vision. When it says where there is no vision, this word means the setting forth of God's will. The setting forth of God's will. And so when the Bible speaks of vision, it is speaking forth of the will of God or the revelation of God. Now then, how is that provided for us? How is that kind of vision provided to each of us today? Well, it is given, first of all, through the Bible. This vision of God's will is given through the Bible. And so I want you to understand this morning that Christian vision is not human idealism. When we speak during these upcoming weeks about vision, we're not talking about, wow, what a vision it took to create Disneyland, or wow, what a vision to start that sports team, or what a great vision to have this type of a school. We're not talking about man's idealism. We are speaking in particular about God's will being set forth. And for example, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 1 and verse 1, when Isaiah began giving his prophecy to the children of Israel, he didn't say, "Hey dudes, I've got some good ideas I want to share with you." That's not what Isaiah said. Isaiah said, "The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz," and then he went on to say, concerning his vision, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up." Now, when he said the vision of Isaiah, he was not simply giving his paradigm of life or his view, but the word vision in Isaiah 1:1 is synonymous with the word revelation. He said, I want to give you my revelation from God. I want to give you God's revealed truth concerning the situation in Israel right now. He was giving God's revelation, God's viewpoint of the situation. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Here we see that the Bible is given by inspiration of God. The Greek word there, theopneustos, as we've studied in the past, simply means a God-breathed book. So the scripture is a God-breathed book. Human authors were instrumental in writing the words, but the Holy Spirit superintended the process so that when we read the Bible, we're not reading something on the par of Shakespeare. We are reading God's revelation. We are literally getting God's view, God's vision for how a family should live and how an individual should be honest in his business and how a nation should honor God, and on and on and on. The principles of the Bible reveal God's vision for our everyday lives. The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And so spiritual vision is a view of my life through the lens of the Word of God. Spiritual vision is a view of my life through the lens of the Word of God. Now, I can take my glasses off this morning and I can still see you, but not quite as clearly. I can't tell if you're smiling, frowning, or even if you're sleeping. Some of you might like me to keep these glasses off so you can catch a few winks this morning. When I put these glasses on, I can see clearly now. And there are a lot of people who are neglecting the Bible. They don't see as clearly as God wants them to see. They don't have His vision for life. Their paradigm is not a biblical paradigm. And so we are going to get this view through the Word of God, through the Bible. Secondly, it is going to come as we are guided by the Holy Spirit. Guided by the Holy Spirit. Now, some people hear that name, Holy Spirit, and it's kind of like, oh, they don't know exactly how to take that. Well, let me just speak to you about the Holy Spirit for a moment. He is the third person of the Trinity. A moment ago, the choir sang, "Holy, holy, holy, God in three persons." God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God is the person of the Godhead who convicts our hearts to show us that Jesus is the Son of God and that we, as a sinful, Adamic human race, have fallen short and that we are sinners. And it is the Holy Spirit who convicts us of these things, and it is the Holy Spirit who helps us in being born again from the inside out. We are regenerated. We are regened. We are born again, not by a church, but by the Holy Spirit. Now then, when someone is born again, the Holy Spirit of God takes up residence in their life. And He walks with us and guides us every step of the way. The Bible says, what? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you?" You see, the church today is gathered together as people in this place. But God does not reside merely in a building. He resides in you today if you have been born again. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's why, for one reason, young people, we don't tattoo or brand or pierce or desecrate with drugs or alcohol this body. Why? It is the Lord's body. It is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And rather than compromising, as some pastors are, and telling their youth pastors to go do it, we're going to keep the standard up here and remind young people, your body belongs to the Lord, and you ought to care for it as the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now then, the Holy Spirit lives within us. And so even as the Holy Spirit inspired the authors and gave them the words of the Bible, so the Holy Spirit wants to illuminate you. And He wants to help you and I understand the Bible and get God's vision for this life. John chapter 14 and verse 16, Jesus was speaking to His disciples. And He said, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." The disciples were there with Jesus, and Jesus was telling them that He would be crucified and He would go away from them. And they said, "But Lord, we don't want to be without You. We don't want to be lonely and left without You." And Jesus said to His disciples, "But if I go away, the Comforter will come." The Comforter was the Holy Spirit. He would come and live within every single believer. And the Bible says in John 14 and John 16 that the Comforter will guide us into the truth. The Holy Spirit will help us to understand God's revelation for us on this life. And He will guide us into truth, and He will guide us away from error. How many of you have ever had the Spirit of God convict you of sin and in essence tell you within your spirit, stay away from that? And He guides us to church, and He guides us to love and joy. Years ago, our family had a vacation in the state of Wyoming, and we were living like cowboys that week. We lived in little cowboy houses, and we wore cowboy boots, and we shot guns and BB guns and rode horses and got infested by ticks. We did everything that cowboys do that week. And a part of what we did that week was to take a little river raft trip down the Shoshone River. And we got onto that raft, and I'll never forget that. Our kids were kind of like this, about this size. And little Matthew, he got into that big raincoat they put on him and a life vest underneath it. And he was just completely dwarfed by that raincoat. And we got into that raft, and I remember fearing in my heart, boy, if we hit a rock or a little bump, Matthew's going to fly out of here. He's just a little guy. And I was kind of scared, and I asked the driver about it, the guide of the raft, and he said, "We'll be fine." And you know, as we started down that river, here'd come a big rock, and I'd be so afraid. And yet that guide, he knew exactly how to move that paddle and how to get us around that rock. And here'd be a big old log protruding out in the river, and he knew exactly how to go around that log. And just seemed like he knew that river like the back of his hand. Finally, I said to him, I said, "How many times have you been down this river?" He said, "I've been down this river thousands of times." And he knew exactly when to turn that craft so that we would be safe. And I want you to know that when someone accepts Jesus as their Savior, the Spirit of God comes to dwell within them, and He will guide you away from error and away from destruction, and He will guide you into truth. And just like the river guide who knew exactly where to go, the Spirit of God will guide you into the vision of God if you will listen and be yielded to Him and to the Word of God each and every day. The provision of spiritual vision, it's not good ideas we want. It's God's idea we want. And the Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. Notice if you would, secondly though, not only the provision of spiritual vision, but the people of spiritual vision. Now, notice this very simple truth. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Let's say that together. Ready, begin. Where there is no vision, the So God doesn't want us to have enlightenment just so we can be at inner peace. I'm at inner peace. That's not His purpose in the sense of just for a selfish reason. God says where there's no vision, the people perish. In other words, He says, I want you to have My biblical understanding so that it will affect people. I don't want it to be something that is kept. I want it to be something that is shared. And so our vision will be something that will affect our response toward other people. Lamentation says, mine eye hath affected mine heart. God says, I want your view of Me and My word to affect your heart and the way that you live each and every day. Because without God's vision, people will perish. Let me give you three practical thoughts to that. First of all, without godly vision, families will perish. Without godly vision, families will perish. You see, without biblical principles in the family, families are falling apart across this nation today. We need to have a vision for our family that is a godly vision. We need to have a vision, for example, to honor Christ in the family. The family, the marital relationship in particular, is a picture of Christ and the church. And the Bible says that the family identifies Christ as the head of the home, as the head of the church, the husband following the example of Christ, and the bride of Christ, the church, and the wife following the pattern of the bride of Christ. And when a Christian family disintegrates, then Christ is not glorified. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:12 that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Husbands and wives, we ought to say, Lord, I want my family to be to the praise of Your glory. I want our marriage to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. When we yell and scream and curse and grab our kids by the hair and carry them through Vaughn screaming and kicking and yelling at one another, we're not bringing praise to You. But when we're at peace and harmony and when we're preferring the other and encouraging one another, then we can bring praise and honor to You. And so we must have a vision to honor Christ. Secondly, we must have a vision to love our spouse. And in particular, I speak here to the husbands. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. A lot of times husbands, and sometimes in certain churches, can get the wrong attitude about it. We think our job is just to be the big boss man, just to bark the orders around. I heard of a fellow who read a book entitled The Man of the House. Boy, he got to thinking about that. On his commute home, he was thinking about being the man of the house. And he came home to his wife. He said, all right. He said, I want you to get something straight. From now on, I'm going to be the man of the house. And when I come home from my long commute, I want a hot meal. And I want not only a hot meal, but I want a gourmet, sumptuous dessert. And then when I'm done eating, I want you to draw my bath and put soap in it so that I can soak and so that I can relax. And he said, then when I get out of my bath and I'm finished with my bath, guess who's going to help me comb my hair and get ready for bed? And his wife said, the funeral director? And sometimes we get our vision of what we think the Bible says, and we superimpose that over on the Bible. Someone says, well, I'm the head of this house. And yes, in one sense, we certainly understand that. But there's a kind of headship that His vision will give you, and it's a loving leadership that God's Word speaks of. It's the kind that took Jesus to the cross. And so the Bible gives us a vision for the family. God wants us to honor Christ in our family, to love our spouse. God wants us to have a vision to yield our own will to the others within that family unit, to be willing to lay down what we could demand and by love to serve one another, to try to understand what a woman needs and what a man needs, to try to understand the differences. Someone said that what a woman wants is to be loved and to be listened to be desired, to be respected, to be needed, to be trusted, and sometimes just to be held. And what a man wants is tickets for the World Series. And so just keep that in mind. Just that simple. No, the needs are vastly different. And that's why the Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it is only through the Spirit that we will be sensitive to the needs one of another. And then the Bible says in Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And this is God's vision, a family that will be yielding to one another and helping one another. And without godly vision, families will perish. And so we must have God's vision for the Christian home. Not Dr. Spock's, not Dr. Laura, but God's vision for the Christian home, you see. And then without godly vision, may I say very quickly, churches will perish. Did you know that all over America today there are church buildings, but what's going on inside of them does not even remotely resemble God's institution, God's founding principles for the church? Did you know that without a godly vision, which I mean again by that, without God's divine revelation, then churches will perish? Now, for example, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Listen, Paul says to Timothy, preach the word. A church is to be a place where the word is preached, and the Greek word for preach is keruk, which means a strong declaration of what the Bible says. Listen, we're not here this morning to have a rap session or just kind of discuss what we might think it might mean. No. The Bible says we are to stand up in church and we are to declare, "Thus saith the Lord." And so we must hear from the Word of God. It doesn't say preach your opinion. It doesn't say preach your persuasion. It says preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. In other words, they don't want to hear about the death, burial, and resurrection. They don't want to hear that Jesus is the Son of God and the only way to heaven. They don't want to hear the doctrine of heaven, the doctrine of hell, the doctrine of creation. No one will want to hear doctrine. So what will happen? Verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, they'll say, hey, we don't want to hear those preachers preaching that doctrine. We're sick and tired of these fundamentalists telling us what the Bible says. We want somebody that'll tell us what we want to hear. And the Bible says they will abound in the last days. They will be teachers who will just tickle your ears. They'll say, well, welcome to church, folks, and I'm just so glad you're here. We want everybody to be happy, 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 healthy, healthy, healthy. And if you'll just come today and listen to what I have to say, I'm just telling you, folks, you're a good person. You're such a good person. And your children are such good people. And now you good people, just be sure to put a little money in the offering. Come back next Sunday because you're all going to just be fine. You know what? The fact of the matter is, I can tell you you're just fine. And in many ways, I'm sure you are. But if I forget to tell you that there's a God in heaven who sent his Son to die for your sin, and that without him, you do not have the hope of eternal life, I just flat didn't do what I was supposed to do today. You see, it's not just about feeling good. It's about hearing God's word. And so the word of God must be proclaimed. One of our ladies this week was able to help talk to a friend of hers at work. And she's been talking to her for a long time at their lunch hour and just sharing things from the Bible. This lady attends a church that their predominant types of emphasis has been on Earth Day and social causes and AIDS awareness and all these types of things. Some of these things, I suppose, are needed. But in that particular church, she had never heard how the Bible speaks of the death, burial, and resurrection. And one of our church members this week was able to lead her to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I'm saying, if you have a church that doesn't preach that message, then we're missing the main point. Listen, never put a question mark where God puts a period. And if God says something in the Bible as he reveals his vision that you don't really like, it doesn't really settle well with you, let God be God and you follow God's vision, because the word of God must be proclaimed. And secondly, the word of God must be practiced. We're here, the Bible says in James chapter 2, not to be hearers of the word only, verse 22. We're to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. God says, I want my church to be a place where the implementation of spiritual vision is an act of obedience to God. And we're not here to say, Lord, give me some head knowledge. But we're here to say, Lord, touch my heart. Help me to apply this in my everyday life. And listen, without a vision, families perish. And without a vision, churches perish. And may I say thirdly, that without a godly vision, nations perish. The Bible says righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin will bring a reproach. The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. And I know that you, along with me, are thankful for America today. With all of our troubles and all of our woes, we are a blessed nation still. And I thank God that the founders of this nation had a godly vision for this nation. And by the way, we need to get back to that godly vision. I can think of so many illustrations. I think of James Madison, the architect of the Constitution, who said, we have staked our future on the Ten Commandments. And yet many today are running up and down this land, the ACLU and others, trying to take every Ten Commandments down, every semblance of our origin down. Listen, don't tell my children that God had nothing to do with America. Don't tell them that the founders knew nothing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of them were God-fearing people. My friend, you visit Washington, D.C. sometime. You look to the dome of the Capitol. You will find everywhere the Word of God. Why? Because this nation began as a nation that was looking to God for our help and the Word of God. And yet, tragically, our nation is forgetting God here and there on a daily basis. We see the evidences of it.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. As a companion to today's series, we are offering a book from Dr. Chappell entitled Sailing with Jesus, Choosing Faith as Your Compass. It's yours when you make a donation to this broadcast ministry. This book will challenge you to discover vital lessons on what it means to live by faith. It will help you develop 20/20 vision for what could happen when you launch out of the harbor of your comfort zone and learn what it means to have Christ on board. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY or go to dailyintheword.org to request this resource for yourself or a loved one. That's 800-688-6329 or dailyintheword.org. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.